you, Cliff, for your service. My name's Kat. I'm an addict.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to congratulate the gentleman that's speaking with me tonight, Vic. He has 12 years today. So that's awesome. Okay. Wow, there are a lot of you. All right. This is my first convention speaking ever.
Welcome.
So, yeah, I did the East Coast convention last summer, but there was like 7 people there, so I don't really count it as speaking at a convention. So this is the real thing. You guys go all the way back. That's cool. All right. Let's see. My clean date is April 30th of 2008. I have a sponsor and a home group, and I sponsor people. I'm a baby in recovery. So, you know, I'm not a circuit speaker. You know, I don't know how to, like, make it very dramatic. Like, so all I'm going to do is just share my experience. Let's see. My first meeting was in May of 1999. It took me 9 years of going to a meeting a day in order to get clean. And I would get periods of 2 years here, 90 days, 6 months, a year. But I could never stay clean past 2.5 years. And I did the steps, I did service work, I sponsored people, I had sponsors, and I just couldn't get it, couldn't stay clean. And that was due to resentments, which is why it's so key for me to be here tonight. You know, in order to kind of give you the clear picture of what it was like for me and why I couldn't stay clean, I got to go way back. I'm one of those people that believes that I was an addict when I was born, or at least from a very, very young age. And I came from a really, really messed up household. I didn't really realize how messed up it was until I got clean and did a 4-step. And I realized a lot of things when I did a 4-step. But, you know, there was a lot of abuse in my house. And when I came into NA, I was very angry. I was always sad as a kid, you know, and like help was called in to my house, and you know, these were my first higher powers, right? Social services, my mom, neighbors, teachers, school counselors, and all these higher powers that I believed in that were going to come and they were going to save me, they didn't save me. You know, so I had it ingrained in me that there's no such thing as a higher power and that no one's coming. And so when I got here and they told me, and I read those steps and they told me I needed a higher power, I was like, I don't think so. I've been doing it on my own this far. You know what I mean? So, you know, but there was a lot of resentment from that. A lot of resentment at, you know, like that, those feelings of entitlement that, you know, that nobody came, you know, and that I was just a kid. And sorry, I just realized I forgot to set my timer, so I'm probably gonna like go ham here. All right, timer's on, Cliff. you know, I had like a lot of resentments from growing up, and I didn't even know it because I really like when I came in, I was pissed, right? But then after like sticking around here for a couple years, I wasn't angry anymore. I was sad. Like, I was feeling grief for myself, and I couldn't let it go. No matter what I did, I walked around every day. Like, I had a friend when I was in early recovery who would always use sports metaphors for recovery, right? And he would talk about in early recovery, it's like when you're an athlete and you're playing hurt. You get an injury during the game, and you get up, and you go back in the game, even though you're hurt. That's what early recovery is like, and that's what my life was like every day, because I had these wounds that I just couldn't get rid of, and so I was trying to get clean and trying to get clean, but I couldn't let go of these resentments from my past, you know, from being angry and feeling let down by God and every other higher power that I had ever known, and all of this kept going on, and like I would do 4-steps, but like these things, they would keep coming on every 4-step that I did. You know, like I couldn't let it go, and I didn't know what I was doing wrong, and I couldn't stay clean, and I didn't know why. You know, I thought that this program wasn't going to work for me, and that maybe I just had some outside issues that I needed to, you know, work on before I could stay clean. And that was, I mean, it was that way until I met my sponsor that took me through the steps. You know, I truly believe that it took going through not just 1, 2, 3, not 1, 2, 3, 4, not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I had to go through all 12 steps if I wanted to stay clean, period. You know, because I didn't. Like, it's right there. Proof is in the pudding. I did not stay clean until I did all 12 steps. And, you know, I had done all these other steps in the past. And it wasn't like I was hiding these resentments. And, like, I was, like, I just wasn't really willing to let them go. So I would keep writing them down and keep writing them down. And my sponsor that took me through the steps, we got to step 4, and he said to me, "Where did you place yourself in a position to be harmed?" Because these resentments were what they call justified resentments. And those were the ones that were killing me. There were legitimate times that people legitimately hurt me and that there was nothing that I did to ask for it. You know? And that was the why I couldn't let it go. So when he said, "Where did you place yourself in a position to be harmed?" That was the first time. I think other people say it like, you know, "What was your part?" or whatever. But this was the, he said it in such a way that I could hear it. You know what I mean? And so I really got to take a look at, like, you know, what I did in all of these situations. Like, you know, some of the stuff from my childhood that, like, I couldn't let go of. He's like, "Why, you know, why is it still hurting you today? Like, why do you still care? You know, what is it doing to you now?" And I got to start writing down some of these character defects, and some of these, you know, just, it was just a general state of being for me that, like, I was walking wounded. Like, I didn't know who I was without that. And so when I put that down, we called it grief, you know, because I was grieving for that child, you know, I was grieving for that person, and I guess other people could call it victim, you know, playing the victim. You know, but once, like, I was able to take a look at that in step 6, like, when my sponsor took me through the steps, he said, when I got to step 12 and I had that spiritual awakening, I wasn't just going to get a better version of my old shitty life. I was going to get a new life. And I didn't believe him. I was like, maybe that happens for other people, but that's not going to happen for me, you know. And it did. And I was like, what? Like, I truly got a new life when I, and, like, when I was able to, like, let go of all of that walking wounded crap, you know, like, because here's how it went down. So, like, all that happened, and I'm walking around with these holes in my soul. And so every person that harmed me after that, I wasn't reacting to what they did. I was reacting to what everyone did before them. You know, it was just the buildup and the buildup. And so, you know, it talks about in the step working guide, where did we make mountains out of molehills and molehills out of mountains? Everything was a fucking mountain for me, you know, because it was like everything from before. Everything brought up something from before. And, you know, I had no idea how to let go of anything. I mean, somebody cut me off in traffic, and I'm, like, mad about it 5 years later, you know, because I just didn't have the tools. And, you know, so that was, like, really the start for me in, like, learning how to let go, learning how to be a different person. And I'm really scared right now. I'm really nervous. My sponsor also told me never to say that you're nervous when you're speaking in front of people. I don't know what that was, if it's like, you know, you're telling yourself that you're nervous or something like that, but I'm like, I'm human and I'm really scared. Sorry. So, you know, recovery, like, ever since, you know, I kind of, like, took care of that stuff, like, recovery has been, it seems like the way it's been for everyone else all along for me, you know? And I was able to stay clean. Like, I was able to have a good life. And, you know, it was all because somebody said something to me in a way that I could hear it, you know? And every one of those meetings that I had to keep coming to for 9 years and not staying clean, you know, and people being like, "Dude, why can't you just stop using?" You know, all of that was what it took to be in that moment for that person to say to me, "Where did you place yourself in a position to be harmed?" You know, and, you know, that's not to say that I didn't learn a lot before that, you know. I'm sure you picked up on the fact that I said my sponsor was a man. You know, I'm not coming up here and saying you should do what I did. I'm just telling you what I did and what worked for me. You know, I hear a lot of people say, you know, how is a man going to teach you how to be a woman in recovery? And that's a valid question. For me, my experience was I needed to learn how to be a human being before I could ever worry about becoming a woman in recovery. So I found the best human being that I had ever met, and I asked him to be my sponsor. And we went through the steps. And then we went through them again. And, you know, like I said, there was this big unveiling, right, when, like, I did the 12th step, and it was like, holy crap, this new life. I don't have to keep doing all this old crap that I always did, you know. And then I got an opportunity to take somebody else through the steps. And I was like, whoa. I thought, like, I had arrived, and now, like, this is the real stuff right here, you know. And that was really... that was like one of the most meaningful things that I've ever done, with that first time taking a sponsee through the steps. And that, like, one of the things my sponsor used to tell me, I'm sort of jumping around a little bit, but he told me every time I would call him, because my resentments would come from stuff like, she's talking about me, he's talking about me, they're talking about me, everybody's Facebooking about me. You know, so I call my sponsor with this stuff because, like, it sounds stupid, right? But then that self-obsession that everyone's thinking about me, you know, and, like, why aren't they thinking about me? That self-obsession is what gets me high, you know. And so I would call my sponsor with these little resentments in the making, you know, and he would be like, Kat, no one's thinking about you. No one. It's like, no one's talking about you. I was like, well, all right. I was talking to somebody earlier today about, they were saying something about, you know, I always think people are talking about me. And I'm like, dude, when I hear that people are talking about me, I'm shocked. Like, because my sponsor trained me that no one was. So I'm like, really? Cool. You know? Why are they doing that? Like, it's surprising to me now. You know, because a lot of those resentments were born from self-obsession. You know, and that self-obsession of, you know, no one's thinking about me. There's not going to be enough for me. You know, if I don't, you know, there's not going to be enough for me. And, you know, through going through the steps and getting that relationship with God, you know, I touched on that, like, that, you know, I had all these higher powers that let me down, you know. And, like, when I did a fourth step with my sponsor and a fifth step, I learned that none of those people were higher powers in the first place, you know, and that it was unfortunate what happened to me. It was unfortunate that these people didn't show up, you know what I mean? But they aren't God, you know, and that God will always show up. And God brought me to this point today to where I could deal with all this stuff, you know, and I just wasn't ready up until now. And, you know, so I have a relationship with a God of my understanding. It's not great. It's something I still work on, you know, every day, and it's a challenge for me. But it's a miracle that I'm even open to the idea, you know, because it kept me away from you guys for so long. Like, I was showing up, but, like, my heart wasn't in it because I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think I could believe in God. And, you know, this program, you know, there are other ways to stay clean. You know, there are other ways to live a better life. For somebody like me, this was the last house on the block. You know, I had tried everything else. I mean, shoot, today, I don't know what it is. I'm like, I got to try everything. You know, I'm like, oh, NA's good, but let me, like, go try this other thing because maybe it's better. You know, like, the dope on this corner is good, but maybe the dope down there is better. You know, but NA is the shit for me. You know, at the end of the day, no matter where I go, you know, what church and what guy and, you know, what kind of relationship or this, that, and the other thing, like, NA is the only thing that has worked for me to stay clean and to have a better life. You know, I have found a new way to live in here. And, you know, I have relationships with people in my life today. I want to share for a little while about my sister. She's here tonight. And that is... that's a relationship that I never, ever thought would get mended. You know, there were resentments so bad on both sides of that that I didn't think that we were ever going to be good. You know, when My sister got clean at the same time that I did. And actually, I was clean. I helped her get clean, and then I relapsed. So she's got a month more than me. She loves. It's like her favorite thing. But, you know, we just never, you know, we were never close. We always fought. And, you know, when she had a year clean, she got diagnosed with cancer. And that's why, like, when I hear people say in meetings, like, it'll get better. It's going to get, just keep coming back. It'll get better. Like, you know what? Sometimes it doesn't. For her, it didn't. She found out she was going to die. So that's not better. But, you know, she's clean. So I guess there's that. And so we, you know, that was like a shock for me. And, you know, we were not close. We still weren't close. Even after she was dying, you know, I'm not fake. I'm not running to her doorstep just because she got cancer. I'm like, I still hate you. But, you know, thank God we were both working steps, you know, because it was that was what started the process of working through those resentments. And I will never forget when she came to me with her first 9-step letter. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe her sponsor let her leave the house with that thing. Like, and, you know, but over the years, like, we have worked slowly but surely to mend these, you know, and let go of these resentments. And today, with her and with other people in my life, I have learned how to just let them be who they are, you know, and be where they are at in their process. You know, somebody close to me in my life always tells me whenever I call them with, like, you know, oh, so-and-so did such-and-such and whatnot, they're always like, you know, they're sick. They're sick like you are, you know. Got to be loving and tolerant, just like people were to you. And, you know, that relationship with my sister is one of the most valuable things that I have gotten in my recovery. And I'm so glad that I have a higher power today, you know, that I was willing to work through the resentments. You know, I had that higher power to guide me. And I had that sponsor who said, where did you place yourself in a position to be harmed? You know? And so today, I don't know. I feel like I'm such a mess up here, guys. But it's cool. We're all friends. It's good. you know, today, I have a sponsee, you know, and I have taken her through the steps. I have a sponsor. I have a different sponsor now, a lady. So she can teach me how to be a woman in recovery, because I think I'm ready. I got the human being thing down, so I'm good on that. You know, and, you know, I went through the steps with that sponsor, and it was, like, had so much impact on who I am, on my life, that for a long time, I was like, this is the only way to do it. You know what I mean? Like, this is the shit. I've arrived. I've got what I need, and I'm good. Now I can just go out and carry the message to everyone else, right? And what I've learned now is that I need to do the steps in different ways with other people to learn different things about myself. And, you know, I have found over the last year some new resentments cropping up for me, you know, different ones. Like, I feel like character defects and resentments and stuff, it's like whack-a-mole, you know, like you deal with one and there's the other one, you know, and like, so I stopped resenting people for this, and now I'm like resenting them for this other thing, and, you know, so like I'm still, you know, still trying to, you know, trudge through, I'm still doing the deal, and, you know, working with a new sponsor, and that's been really challenging to break out of that, you know, way of thinking that, you know, with this person that I've been with for so long, and then, you know, now working with someone else, and you know, one of the things that I don't like the step working guide. I know a lot of people use it. I don't particularly like it. My sponsor uses it, actually. Probably is something I should have asked before I asked her to be my sponsor. But I asked her, and I'm like, so, how do you do the steps? She's like, oh, I use the step working guide. I'm like, oh, I don't use the step working guide. You know, so we're like going through the step working guide, and like I'm keeping, right? What am I gonna say? So like, you know, keeping that open mind and like, you know, doing something a different way, even though the way I did it before worked, it doesn't mean that I need to keep doing it that exact same way over and over again. You know, being open minded and being open to change and you know, maybe potentially a better way. And this past year has been a real, like, test for me. I got into a relationship about a year ago with somebody who was also in the program who had some time, and we were going to live happily ever after. It was glorious. It was awesome, let me just tell you. And, you know, he was in the Army, and I was like, he was moving to New York, and I'm like, I'm coming with you, because that's what we do, right? We go. So I went, and he relapsed. And it was one of those things that I never saw coming. I can't believe I'm crying right now. Why am I doing that? I had my network of people, and I called all of them, and I'm like, what do? You know, I'm in love. This is the person I care about. This is the person I'm going to spend my life with. So what do? You know? And I had people over here saying, oh, girl, you got to go. Kick him to the curb. He doesn't need you. He needs to get clean. And then, you know, I had people over here that were like, dude, you can go, but if you go, you better bring it. If you're going to move up there, you know he's getting clean, so you need to show up and be an example of recovery working, you know. And my sponsor, she's like, I don't care what you do, just don't walk away from this with a resentment, you know. And so I went, and, you know, I walked through this process, and we put him in treatment, and, you know, we had together a lot of consequences, you know. He lost his career. And so we ended up back in Virginia. It was a really, really bad time. But I did an inventory, which, you know, I thought was bullshit when my sponsor said to do it, but I did it anyway. And, you know, I wrote this inventory on the situation, like, as it was happening, not afterwards, not after I was mad, you know, but while it was happening. And I wrote down what my feelings were, and I wrote down those things that I was thinking that were, like, vile, you know what I mean? Those things that are selfish, those things that I didn't want to be thinking as someone who's supposed to be in a loving relationship, you know? Those things like, what about me? Why wasn't he thinking about me when he used? You know what I mean? I wrote all that nasty stuff down, all that stuff in all the dark corners, and, you know, I shared it with my sponsor. And, you know, I'm here to tell you that, like, I walked away from that without a resentment, which, like, that's the kind of situation that I never thought. Clean, not clean, in recovery, working steps, not, you know, whatever. Like, I didn't think that was the kind of situation I'd be able to walk away from without being mad. And we're still together. You know, he's clean today, and he's coming up on 6 months. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, every day, because my addict mind, like, wants to go backwards all the time, you know, bring up old shit. Like, my brain loves bringing up old shit, you know. And, you know, every day I try to, you know, pray, connect with my higher power, and, you know, walk into this relationship every day. Like, it's, you know, it's new, it's fresh, it's, you know, and keep... You know, like my sponsor said way back, you know, keep bringing that A game. You know, keep being that example of recovery. And so even when, through this whole process, even when I was falling apart, wondering what was going to happen to us, you know, what was going to happen to me, you know, I showed up and I lived with integrity. And I went to meetings and I called my sponsor and I did steps and I called my sponsees and all that stuff that I did anyway. You know, and I don't know if, you know, anybody got anything out of any of that, but that was my life. This has been my last year, my life. And I don't know, resentments kill, so it almost killed me, and I'm going to shut up before I start talking. Thanks, guys.